It's Tuesday the 5th of February and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there gents.
Hello there Paul.
Good evening Paul.
And we're back this week to look at another weekend of action, a mixed bag for the Devils going down in Manchester before bouncing back with a resounding win over the Steelers on Sunday. We'll have a little look at what that's done to the league situation with Belfast weekend. We've got a Ramite this week and we've got a selection of burning questions, including one from Steve King, which we'll come to before previewing the weekend's action with the Pride Night game at home to Coventry on Saturday before the trip to Guildford, which also, excitingly for Aaron, coincides with the return of Lane Ulmer to the lineup. So I got to mention it early because you're going to mention it often, I'm sure. But starting with the trip to the Storm Shelter, a place we've done well in this year, two sort of pretty solid wins so far. And we discussed, Sean, about how we seem to have adapted to how to play there, but not really how the game panned out on Saturday. Before you get going, just worth mentioning, obviously the Devils were without the suspended Ulmer and Joey Haddad. And Evan Mosey still out through injury. So, you know, a couple of players down.
Yeah. And you say about that we've learned how to play the game in that arena and we just totally forgot it. Just not good enough, point blank. Just looking at the shot counts, we apparently had 40 shots on that and I don't think that's anywhere near correct. They must have been counting the pucks bouncing off the kickboards because we did not have 40 shots on it. Absolutely no way. We just didn't do the things which we did on our last couple of visits. A lot of the goals we were scoring over the last couple of games were coming from defensemen, from the point, you know, just getting pucks in on net nice and deep and crashing the net for rebounds when we had to. We just didn't do it. I don't think Manchester were anything special. I think they were there for the taking. The difference is they put the puck on net and managed to grab themselves a couple of goals. We apparently almost put 2-1 in terms of shots on them, but I cannot see that being accurate because it didn't seem like we were putting the puck on net at all through the night. Joey Martin's goal was the pure example of when we finally did start to put the puck on net, and I was hopeful we were going to get going and kick on and just keep throwing the loose pucks in there. You know, you put traffic in front of net and a puck spills out, you've got an open net. That goaltender's committed to trying to save the original shot, and We just didn't do it and we didn't deserve to win the game. I don't think Manchester were anything special, as I said, but they did the simple things and that's what won them a hockey game.
Yeah, and it's the big thing about playing hockey on that size ice pad and you know that type of ice rink is you've got to play simple and do the right things, and you know, for far too long in the night we weren't doing the right things. You mentioned the loss of players and it felt like it took the best part of the weekend really for the lines to settle down, Sean. It was, I think all through the game there were different lines rolling, which you could understand when you're short benched, but it looked a bit like we never really got into a settled game plan and didn't know what our best lineup was.
Yeah, we Andrew Law sort of tinkered with the lineup for the opening sort of 5 minutes of each period as well. We started with Martin centering a line of Longley and Livingston. Dixon, Morissette and Hedden, Myers, Bentivoglio and Pope and Rutkiss and Duggan rotating in. And Duggan did play a fairly regular shift, as did Rutkiss. Joey Martin was he was almost sole centre. Dixon maybe took one or two shifts on but
Morissette maybe had one or two, but yeah, Martin practically double shifted on the night.
Yeah. And then suddenly after about five or so minutes, we didn't give it much time to get going and suddenly it was back to Longley, Dixon, Hedden, Martin Pope and Bentivoglio and as is. And I can appreciate wanted to go out there with some energy, but I don't think it really worked out too well for us. And that was a game where Livingston really could have come alive and done a lot of good things on that line. And it was a shame to see it revert to, you know, what we've known for the best part of the last couple of months.
I didn't think that Longley had gone back on with Hedden and Dixon. I thought Morissette had stayed on that line. So I remember being frustrated that of the two lines, we seem to be playing Martin Pope-Benty a bit more than the other, which I felt you know, the Longley line is, you potentially is, you could argue it's dried up a little bit recently. Maybe teams have realised that's the line that maybe doing the majority of our scoring, and you know, it's dried up a bit, and maybe we were looking at shaking it up. But yeah, definitely a frustrating night all round, and you know, capped off with the empty netter right at the end from Dallas Earhart. But yeah, I think we've done better in Manchester than we did last season. Just disappointing to have done it then. So rocking on to Sunday, and Sheffield coming to Cardiff, and hoping for the same players still out, no one back. And Aaron, it looked like it was going to be a good start when halfway through the period Longley put us in front, but you know, by the end of the first, things were maybe looking a little bit troublesome for the Devils again.
Yeah, you know, Longley out there, you've been quite quiet the last couple of weeks and managed to score what seems like a typical Longley goal with a slapper that goes straight to the back of the net. And, you know, I thought we was going to, you know, come up to a flying start. And a couple of minutes after that, someone laid a big hit on mid-ice hit on Ben. Was it Benty?
Tanner Eberle on Charles Longley.
Yeah, it was on Longley, sorry. And, you know, it was right in front of me where I sit there. I thought it was a clean hit. It was nothing wrong with it. But Mark Lewis seemed to take a little bit of it to exception there and went after him. Whistle didn't go, play was still on. And next thing you know, there's a one-on-one with Bounds. And, you know, nine times out of ten, the player who's taking the shot is going to score. And, you know, they did. So, you know, it was unlucky there. And not long after that, another one, you know, a ton of traffic in front of the net. I think it was about six or seven players. Took about four deflections on the way through. And it was another one in the back of the net. And one silly mistake and one nothing you could do about goal. And we're 2-1 down. And, you know, it looked like it was going to be one of those nights again. So, yeah, it did get a little bit worrying, to be honest.
Right. The worries didn't ease up going into the second either, with Evan McGrath scoring a third for Sheffield just 4 minutes into the second. And I think I just said to someone stood next to me that the next goal was going to be huge, and practically almost on, you know, on the words the goal went in. But thankfully I was proved to be exceptionally wrong. You know, Charles Longley pulled one back, and Sean, it all went downhill for Sheffield, and the Devils just took off once we got that second goal in.
Yeah, I think going down by two to a team that are just not good at the moment. We saw them last week in Sheffield, and we talked that game to death on last week's show, and we just turned it on, and we were brilliant for the last for the remainder of the game. I thought we were excellent all on the ice. Passes were better. We just looked like a team that had clicked into gear. We coasted the whole game, and finally when we clicked into gear, Sheffield couldn't live with us. And good to get Longley back on the score sheet again. And also good for James Livingston to get on the score sheet as well, which was the shot itself. I don't think Whistle was expecting it, but it's a fantastic shot from not the best of angles, and obviously we had to wait a little bit of time for it to get to go to review and all that sort of thing, but you can see it quite clearly. It was never ever going to be disallowed, and when we were tied up then, I think the crowd really got into it then. The Longley goal got the crowd believing, and when we equalised, the crowd were I think the crowd believed as soon as we equalised that we were going to beat the Steelers with ease.
Yeah, I think that was probably the big thing, is that belief was there. And through the Livingston goal, most people around me thought it had gone in and out. Myself and a couple of others thought it was bar down and just one of those funny bounces that didn't make a noise. So, you know, you can definitely understand the doubt in it. But it was nice that it was a nice quick review. It's felt like the last few we've had at home have been quite dragged out, but the refs pretty much walked in, said, well, that's a goal, isn't it? And came straight back out, which was good to see. 5 minutes after that, well, 5 minutes, but there was time put back on the clock. It was about 2.5 minutes, I think, in the end.
Mm.
But two goals in a minute from Hedden and Martin just really put the game to bed at 5-3, and it was just a case of seeing out the third period then, Aaron.
Yeah, that's exactly what we needed. You know, it was nice to see Hedden grab a goal, and Bentley grabbed one in the first couple of minutes of the third period as well, which definitely closed that game off. It was done and dusted by then. But it was nice for Bentley to get a goal. Another one that, well, he's not a big goal scorer anyway, but it was nice to see him get on the score sheet. And then, you know, to finish it off, not much happened the rest of the game. Finish it off, 2 minutes left, and Tom Trutkiss grabs a goal. Matt Pope drives the net, puck pops out, and it was a scramble in front of the net, and Tom Rutkiss slides it home, and that's all she wrote, 7-3, and everyone was panicking. What are we panicking for?
Who knows what we're panicking for? We will come on to panic in a little. So worth mentioning, you know, Aaron touched on it there, Sean, but you said about getting back into the goals, but you know, as Aaron said, Hedden and Benty as well. A couple of players who, you know, can score, but maybe haven't done quite quickly, but on the score sheet, and the Devils just getting a good run of goals when maybe things have been a little bit dry the last few games.
Yeah, and especially as Jackson Whistle put up such a good performance against us midweek. I know, we said, we weren't out of this world, but he kept them in the game to some extent when we were up there. And yeah, we scored good quality goals as well. I think the Rutkiss one probably was the only sort of scrappy one.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Martin's is an absolutely wonderful tic-tac-toe. The weighted pass from Reddick to it, he just waits to find Martin, slide into the slot. It's a great, great finish. Hedden's the pass from Longley is out of this world, and it's an absolute rocket from out wide. And yeah, I think we scored some really, really pretty goals in a lot of different ways. A lot of good playmaking going on. Some good straight shots in the sweet spots of the net, which, like I said, it was good for us to sort of, I wrote a tweet after the game that it was good for us to find our groove a little bit and get playing the right way again. And I felt there was a bit of a hangover from the Saturday game on Sunday, but we came good in the end. And listen, that I've seen a couple of people say that it wasn't a 7-3 game. A couple of Steelers fans have said that. No, probably not. I thought the Steelers weren't awful, but we were just very, very good and very, very clinical. And that's the team which, you know, that was the same side in the last sort of half an hour, 35 minutes of play that has absolutely blown teams away at the start of the season. We just oozed class. Passes were exceptional. We were fast, physical. And I really liked the way that Lewis stepped up as well. I totally agree with you, Aaron. The hits by Tanner Eberle were completely clean. I think he laid a second one on Longley towards the right as well. You know, almost in the same position on the blue line, but towards the hospitality boxes. Two clean hits, shoulder to shoulder. But Lewis goes up and, you know, we give the goal away, but I'm not really too upset by that. It's one of those things where, you know, you want to send a message. Longley is one of our most talented guys on the ice, and you want to send a message that you know, that isn't going to be allowed to happen. And yeah, they go and score, but I think I was really, really pleased with how we dealt with that as a team. How Lewis stepped up, and yeah, it seemed to favour us, because after the first period, no one went near Charles Longley for the rest of the night. So, and that's what I want from my team, and I felt like we found ourselves a little bit in that game.
It was one of those where you'd have been a lot more annoyed, I'm sure, if there was 5 minutes left rather than 50 mm-hmm. when Lewis went out. But yeah, good night all around, and it just stopped the run of, you know, a couple of losses that the Devils had had in Nottingham the previous weekend as well. So very, very nice night all around. Just before we come on to the player of the week, I'll just do player of the week first very quickly. Sean, you were at both games this weekend. Who's getting your vote?
Bryce Reddick. Worked his nuts off in both of the games. stood in front of the net in Manchester when there was an open net and basically wanted to be a bit like his dad and act like a goalie. Blocked the shot, we went up the other end of the ice and almost tied the game up, and just a warrior through the weekend. Liked his play for Martin on that goal on, against Sheffield, and yeah, just really liked his game all round. As a team, we were very good on Sunday. There weren't many standouts on Saturday, so for me it's going to be Bryce Reddick.
Excellent. I'll give my vote to someone that you just mentioned. You said about the fact he practically double shifted through Saturday and then put in a really good performance, topped off with, well, he had a goal in both nights as well. Joey Martin gets the vote for me. I think we've talked about underrated players, and I always feel a little bit like Joey Martin is underrated, that he's so good that we expected of him. But the fact that you know he's playing at least half of every power play, probably playing at least one shift, if not two, on every kill, and then to go and, you know, throw a double shift in on Saturday as well is you're outstanding, and you just don't see his play drop no matter how the number of minutes he logs. So Joey Martin's getting the vote for me. And Aaron?
Yeah, Paul, I agree with you. I think, like you said, he doesn't get the credit that he's due. He is, without doubt, the best player on our team, night in, night out. Very rarely has a night off. And, you know, even on Sunday, I noticed him. You know, the fact that we missed Ulmer on that power play unit, he was, even though he plays on that power unit, it seemed like he was, like, almost playing both power play units and, you know, getting loads and loads of ice time. And, like you said, his quality didn't drop. He was still class. Scored a worldie of a goal Sunday. But, yeah, I just think he was incredible. Nothing short of what's expected. I just think he was one stood out that a little bit more than everyone else.
Yeah, same. I would love the league to bring in time on ice stats. We've had plus and minus come in this year, but to see time on ice would be really interesting, I think, for, you know, guys like Joey Martin. But congratulations to him, who is the player of the week this week. Looking over the water at Belfast, they managed a 4-point weekend in not the style that you probably would have fancied. Home doubleheader against Coventry and Belfast. Coming out 6-5.
Nottingham.
Yeah, they are Belfast, aren't they? Nottingham would be the other team then. winning 6-5 against Coventry, having trailed 5-4 at one stage in the third, about halfway through the third period. 5-4 down, and then 8-5 against Nottingham on a Sunday. So absolute goal fests. And another game that they didn't actually trail in that one, but they were 4-4 at the end of the second in that one. Yeah, so
they blew two goal leads in that game, 2-0 and 4-2.
They did, you're right. What it's meant is that it's taken the gap down to 3 points. And along with that, they've also picked up a new signing. Hunter Bishop has announced his retirement, and they've replaced him with Jordan Smotherman, who's come in straight from the DEL, having played 35 games there this year. So, you know, an excellent pickup for this time of year, a guy who's been playing hockey and been playing at a good standard. Sean, like, in terms of looking at Belfast, you know, they've picked up points, they've closed the gap with our 2-point weekend, but, you know, it's always, you know, a positive thing to see your title rivals conceding goals by the hatful.
Yeah. For sure. And against teams that aren't known for scoring a great deal of goals either. I know Coventry have really, really struggled to get their offense going this year. Nottingham have been a bit hit and miss. They've been very, very goal happy sometimes, and particularly against us and not against others. So yeah, it's, you know, it's always interesting to compare. And I've seen a lot of stuff like, you know, Giants fans saying that we're coming for Cardiff and it's not over yet, and it's definitely not over yet. But I think the main thing to focus on is ourselves. You know, both teams still hold their own destinies. You know, no team is going to win out. And I'd be interested to see where we are after this weekend, to be quite honest with you.
To throw something out there, and it's only because I've got it in my hand, I'm not doing it just to correct you to be
go
that
ahead.
Person. But Coventry have played the least number of games out of anyone in the league, and they're fourth highest goal scorers, even though they're down in 10.
Really? Oh, okay. And, oh well, yeah, but don't forget they have scored. They have had two very, very high scoring games against Guildford, but they scored like 9 goals a game.
If you go back, they're they're winning and losing pretty much every other game at the minute, but they've only scored less than 3 goals once in their last 10 games.
Oh, okay.
They have, and if you look at their results, it's like 4-3-6-5-5-4, 4-3-3-4-6-2-5-6-7-8-6-5. You know, just absolute, like, they've also got the worst goals against bar Milton Keynes, so it's
you know, ebbs and flows.
They are playing end-to-end hockey, but yeah, I'd imagine it's at least going to be more entertaining.
I was going to say, good value for money on the Coventry season ticket this year.
Yeah. If their goals is what you're after, you're getting them. Aaron, in terms of the signing, Belfast, you know, clearly still meaning business, and you know they know the race isn't over, and you know that's a big market to put down.
Yeah, you know, it's right now they're only 3 points behind us, and we got to play them twice. So if we all win our games out. If they win their games out, they win the league. If we win our games out, we win the league. So it's a two-horse race. And I think they're just going to go balls to the wall, do whatever they can to, you know, try and knock us off our top spot. But, you know, they lose a great player in Hunter Bishop. I think he's, you know, the very few occasions I've seen him, I thought he was a really standout player and looked decent. So I think as soon as they found out that he was announcing his retirement, I think they, you know, entered round and found what seems to be another quality signing. I think he scored in his first game, and so you know he seems like a real, well, that you can't tell a lot of that, but he seems like a real deal. You know, it's not over till the fat guy sings, and I'm not singing yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
Not even warming up yet. Not even warming up. Sean, it's worth you mentioning, you said you'd be interested to see where things are after this weekend. Is that, you know, with an eye on the Giants fixtures for this weekend?
Yeah, I believe they have a Guildford doubleheader this week.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
Guildford, Friday, Saturday, and then they have to go to Nottingham. So that's three big games. Guildford are very, very Jekyll and Hyde this year. Obviously, they have a big part to play. Obviously, they have to play Belfast twice. We have to play them probably twice more as well, once there and once at home. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So you know that they've still got they're going to have their say in who takes the title. But that's a nasty 3-3. Guildford are a good side who aren't just going to lie down with a very, very good goaltender in Chris Carosi. And then, like I said, they have to go to Nottingham then, who gave them a bit of a scare. So I think that'll also leave them with we'll have a game in hand on them. Are we're on the same games played at the moment, correct?
Yes, we are. So
no. So it'll leave us with a game in hand because of the Fife game.
Still to
be rearranged. So yeah, I'd be more. I think that the 3-point gap is, you know, it's still okay. It looks very, very different given the fact that it was 11 2 weeks ago. We've lost 2 games since then, and I think they had a game in hand on that one as well.
Two games in hand.
So it's 7. So really, it's where we would expect to be. And you look at the games which we had, and, you know, Nottingham away, you can scratch that one off. Manchester away is a tough one. You'd like to come away with a point. We didn't. You know, if it's not 4 points, you know, sorry, if it's not 3 points, it's 4. Looking at the fixtures that we played. So, yeah, I don't think we're really in that bad a position compared to where we were 2 weeks ago.
I thought you were saying not in that bad a position in general. I was like, well, no, I think everyone else would like it. but worth noting as well that Nottingham face off at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. So that's going to be a
tough travel.
Tight little schedule for Belfast, yeah. Whereas Nottingham in Sheffield on the Saturday. So shouldn't have too much of an issue with their travel. Well, so
they'll give it everything in Sheffield and be absolutely cream crackered come Sunday then. And not turn up for game against another team. Let's just worry about ourselves.
I'm going to say, as Aaron said, it's all in our hands. No one else is at the minute. So we're not. Will you need any favours? Though one would be nice, please. That's enough Belfast talk. It's a Cardiff podcast. We've had a Ramite storm.
We have. Michael Brain, at Michael Brain 55. Hated the view in Manchester's rink and loved winning the puck sponsor on the bus with the Red Army Travel.
That sounds like a great excuse to do a cheap plug. And you come on, come to Milton Keynes on the 17th of February. Space on the bus and great prizes like that on every trip in the raffle.
Not to mention the regular tub of talk, which I win nearly every week. Greg Hewish at Hewish Greg. All about names this week. Rahmite, the bombshell last week that Roe of the Panthers has too many letters he doesn't need in his name, I think was something that you mentioned on last week's episode, Paul.
He's got about 7 letters. I still stand by that statement.
But his burning question is there any other player whose name you'd love to either see or wish you had seen in a Devil shirt? Paul, I think you had one lined up for this one, so I'm going to come to you first.
Being fair, because Aaron had a player of the week ready, so I'm sure you won't have everyone ready for this. Chris McAllister, who played for Newcastle some years ago now, probably early 2010, 2011 sort of time, was an absolute monster, stay-at-home D-man who could play a bit as well. And he was one of those players that, especially at the time, I would have loved to have seen in a Devil shirt. And yeah, it didn't happen, but he was always fun to watch and was good for a big hit or two every game that he came to Cardiff. And I think when we were playing in the tent, he would have been such fun to watch on that small ice pad.
Okay. And Aaron?
I'm going to go for someone a little bit more current in my era. I'm going to go for Darcy Murphy of Belfast Giants. The guy, you know, he's only 26. He scored 26 goals last year. He's already topped out this season with 28. Over 50 points. Quality player. Fast as lightning. All the skill you could ask for. He's only 26. You know, I think he's quality. You know, what else more can you say? I think Belfast felt lucky with him playing in the Frozen Four or Friendship Four, whichever one he played in a couple of years ago. You know, signed him pretty much straight out of college. And I think he's quality, and you know, if we could get someone at that caliber in the team, you know, we haven't got room in our top six right now that I'd replace him with, but you know, I think he's goal scoring machine, and not saying it's something we lack, but you know, if we can get someone that scores 20 plus goals a year, then you'd be doing something right now. So, you know, I think for me, Darcy Murphy, I think he's quality.
I didn't know he was that young, actually. And if I'm going for a modern person, I have to back that up. That's
franchise player.
2 great years, and at that age, yeah, Belfast can build a team around him for years to come.
Now we'll poach him.
Sean?
I had 2, actually. One to go with the name, just the fact that he had quite a cool name, but was a hell of a player as well, was Rob Globke of the Sheffield Steelers of 2010-11. That guy could just flat out play, and had quite an unusual name.
While we're on the subject of names only, Robin Big Snake is the guy that I would have always wanted to have signed. I think he was linked with us. Well, he was linked with the league for a couple of years, but he's never played at a massive level, but his surname is Big Snake. And I reckon that could have been a popular shirt in an auction.
Oh, goodness me. And purely on a playing perspective, it is going to be Shea Guthrie, or of the Coventry Blaze. Spent a couple of years in this league and just ripped it up when he was here. Did a bit of everything, was fast, physical when he needed to be, and really, really liked him when he was at Coventry. They seem to pick up these little gems in Coventry. Their captain last year, another one. Always forget his name. He used to score against us in every game.
Petrus,
another one. Yeah, that's another one possibly it would have taken. So, but yeah, Rob Globke and Shea Guthrie for me were my 2 that came to mind.
Excellent. But all of those players had the correct number of letters in their name, so well done, everyone.
And then we also had a burning question from Dan Acton, who asks, are we looking at a future star or mega star in Sam Duggan? was a standout on Saturday. Speed, physicality, and puck handling was superb. Aaron, obviously we added Sam Duggan about a month or so into the season. Do you think he has the potential to be a mega star? What have you made of him so far?
I think the guy is absolutely incredible. You know, he got bags and bags and bags of potential. He's already playing at a level which he can compete in the top three lines in this league. His speed is to kill for. You know, he chases the puck like a dog. He can turn over. He got great stick handling. Stick detail is on point. You know, he's not afraid to chase back, and he's not afraid of anyone. I think in playing in that Swedish league for a couple of years, you know, really matured him as an adult and a hockey player. And we just got to groom him now in a good hockey sense. Not, you know.
Stop talking, please. that was an edit button hovering there, Aaron.
I just hope Lord sees his potential and, you know, doesn't waste the skill and qualities that, like, Sam Duggins has. You know, he needs to be, you know, if he wants the ice time, give him it. Let him prove himself. Let him fight for it, because, you know, if he feels like he's not getting his worth, you know, he's going to look for another club to pick him up. And, you know, a player like him is a dime a dozen. He's still got 3 years left on the under-23 rule. He's, you know, keep him. Sign him up now. Lock him down. 15-year deal. Can't go anywhere. Lock and key after every game.
Excellent. And Paul?
He's coming in. His first game, I think was in Coventry, or one of his first games. And first thing struck me was his speed. He was skating, you know, with everyone on the ice, you know, like an import. He skates like an import. He doesn't, you can't tell from looking from a distance that he's a 20-year-old kid who's, you know, should just be finding his way, but, you know, he's holding down a regular place. You know, Aaron said about, you know, Lord needs to make sure he's giving him the minutes. And, you know, I think we've seen that already this year. And, you know, Manchester probably being a really good case in point. We were two imports light. And yet we still rolled a fourth line, you know, even though we had Martin double shifts in. And I think Duggan has proven that he can hold his end up of a line without any questions, without any problems. And, yeah, I think that time he spent in Sweden, he can adapt, he can pick things up. He's grown so much in the few months he's been with us. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him, you know, being, you know, penalty killing in the next year or so, if not sooner. And, you know, whilst our league is one where we're looking at imports and British players are commodities, he's, you know, the sky is the absolute limit in that case. You know, you look at the best Brits, you know, in our league, and how many were playing at this level at the age of 20, and there were probably very few. But even if we go down the route where Brits become less of a commodity, I think he's already shown that he can more than hang with, you know, with what the elite league is offering as it is, and, you know, he's got bags and bags of potential at his age as well.
For sure.
I'm assuming you're not going to be arguing against us there, Sean.
No, definitely not. I really like his game. You could just tell his hockey IQ is through the roof. Picked up a lot of good habits playing over in Sweden. And we said, I think, when he played in the Nottingham game, that he didn't look a step out of place, and he was getting involved. And I got to be honest, I'd like to see him up in the top three lines, trying to produce a bit more. I know he's still very young. He's getting to the stage where the fourth line's being used regularly, and he's getting good grinding minutes to show that he can compete at this level. And I'm hoping that we can, like Aaron said, you know, not so much groom, but maybe nurture the talent that he's got, and sort of get him playing up the lines, because he has the talent to do so. There's no doubt about it. And his work rate is brilliant. I think as long as he keeps working hard and he gets given a chance, he'll absolutely flourish with us. And I hope, like Aaron said, I think he needs that to you know, convince him to stay with us. If we don't give him that time, I think there's a number of clubs around the country that will. And, yeah, he's without a doubt well worthy of being added to the squad late in the year.
Yeah, an excellent pickup. So, yeah, I think we're all in full agreement with Dan there.
We are indeed. We did also have a last minute surprise burning question from Steve King, and he wants to know if Sean needs a hug. His tweets after we lost our second game out of 25 and even after we destroyed our biggest rival 7-3 have me concerned about his mental state. My answer to the question is that I don't need a hug. I would like one because I do like hugs. However, the tweet which I wrote was after the Manchester game and before the demolition of our biggest rival. So, haven't given up yet. And I did in the same tweet mention that I still thought that we could do it with regards to winning the league title. So I'm okay. I think I'll get through it. Moving swiftly on. Thanks very much for asking in any case.
I just wish that I shared Paul's tweets
Saturday night and
Sunday night because honest to God, you wouldn't think, right? We were still top of the league, 3 points clear and 2 games against Belfast. You would not think that we was anywhere near close to winning the title. According to Paul, he was done and dusted, and we may as well hang our skates up now. It was worse than that.
Should have seen him in Manchester. He was like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, continuously depressed.
Well, in my defence, on Saturday I might have had a beer. on Sunday I was fun, quite delicate, but I'd already started fishing a little bit. You kept having a nibble when I was being miserable on Saturday, so I thought I'd run with it. I was exceptionally miserable on Saturday. I just don't like losing, as it happens. I was quite miserable after the Nottingham game too, and I thought we played well. I'm just a really bad loser at the moment. Clearly, 2 losses in 25 games. I'm just not used to it. I'm out of the habit, and I'm quite happy to get out of the habit again. But no, it's as I said earlier that I'd rather be in our position than any of the teams in the league. We are playing. I meant to say during the game, not only are we playing three in Port Short, they're probably three of the biggest character guys, as well. You know, in Haddad, Mosey, and Ulmer. You know, everything that comes out of the club is about how good they are. So, you know, they're massive losses, and you know, we've definitely got one back on Sunday. Maybe we'll see another one back over the weekend. Well, maybe we see all of them back. Who knows? But let's start talking about the game. So on Saturday, Devils host our second Pride night when Coventry come to town. As I said, definitely without Lane Ulmer. Joey, your dad, we've been told, is day-to-day on a number of occasions. And Evan Mosey, you know, it'll be 2 weeks exactly since the hit in Nottingham. So I don't know what the Elite League's concussion protocol is. I think in rugby union it's 2 weeks, so potentially this weekend, if he's had no symptoms, we may see him back. But as I think we discussed last week, that we're sure he's going to be getting the best care. So if there's any doubts, he won't play. And I think everyone would be fully supportive of that. But let's talk about the game first before we talk about the night. Sean, we just discussed Coventry. They're big scorers. They gave Belfast a bit of a scare on Saturday. And they obviously turned us over twice this year. And definitely one that Devils are not going to be taking lightly, do you think?
Yeah, for sure. And we won't want to make it 2 losses on Pride night out of 2. We obviously lost to Belfast in a penalty shootout last year in the very first one. So, yeah, we could just keep saying this about every single game. It's a big game. They seem to not be used to their goalie quite yet. They got rid of Copriver and added, I think it's Matt Hackett, who hasn't had the best of starts by all accounts. Those two have massively high scoring games against the Flames in his first two, and then obviously the game against Belfast. this weekend. And as you mentioned, they also have the highest goals against, with the exception of Milton Keynes. So they don't have a great defensive record. So I'd like to think we don't take them lightly. But I would like to see us regularly getting that fourth line out there, as we have been. It's been successful for us, rolling all four lines, and I think that's a game where they can, you know, give the guys like Martin, who have been double shifting, a bit of a rest. It'll be good to hopefully get at least one body back. I don't expect to see Evan Mosey. I would like to see Joey Haddad. We have seen the photograph from the Devils' Twitter of all the Pride jerseys hanging up, and Joey Haddad's is there. Whether that is a hint or not, we shall soon find out. But yeah, hoping to get at least one body back.
Yeah, and you know, as Sean said, Aaron, it's you know, a game where Devils' depth may very well pay dividends.
Yeah, you know, it's key, and it sucks that we have to be down. We got to be down two imports, we'll say, and two very big characters. So hopefully we can get Haddad back in the lineup, because, you know, as much as we've done well over the last couple of weeks, he has been missed. You know, probably one of the strongest guys on the puck I've ever seen. So hopefully we can get him back in the Devils shirt. And no game against Coventry is ever easy. They're quite low in the league standings, and we're right at the top. But, you know, Danny Stewart always has a game plan to play against us. They've done us over at home a couple of times last year. They've done it this year. There's no doubt they're going to come out, let us fly in. A couple of good guys. We just got to, you know, shots on that goalie. Get him a little bit nervous. Get him, you know, a little bit jumped up, and hopefully score a couple of bangers. But I wouldn't say I'm confident, because it's Coventry. Come on, let's be honest. You never know what's going to happen in those games. We could drum them by 10, or they can beat us on a penalty shootout or something like that. But it's doable. We need to do it. We can't drop any more points now. It's at that stage in the season where every 2 points is the biggest 2 points of the weekend. So yeah, scared.
Scared? Oh God, I don't like this. Aaron's our Mr. Confident. Things are feeling all kinds of wrong. Obviously, as we said, it's the Pride Night, and you're great to see the Devils supporting it again for the second year, and Pride Month as well. So, you know, really good initiative, and you know, great to see that. You know, and Devils still really leading the way in, I think, potentially, you know, definitely in British hockey, but I think you could argue, you know, in pretty much world hockey, there's not many teams that have hosted Pride Nights as far as that I'm aware of. And, you know, I think in the interviews that have come out of the club, that's been said. So, you know, a massive positive thing on the club's part there. So hopefully it'll be a good night. And, you know, as Sean said, we don't get into a bit of a losing run on the Pride Nights. And Sunday, Aaron, we see him back. He's back in the lineup, Mr. Ulmer. You know, a tough place to go, Aaron, in Guildford. But, you know, as we mentioned earlier, they've got those two games in Belfast, Friday, Saturday beforehand. So, you know, a really tough schedule for them. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's definitely going to, I think it's going to be a game of, you know, lion chasing a rabbit kind of thing. They're going to be tired. They're going to be worn out. You know, it's going to be, you know, they still got to come back to Guildford after playing two tough trips away. You know, we've only got to go a couple of hours down the road. They've got to go down the, go wherever they dock off the ferry, or if they fly, they might even fly, who knows. But, right. You know, it's going to be a tough travel schedule for, you know, two tough games. Hopefully they can do Belfast over at least once for one of those flavours. And, you know, that game, although they're a better team than Coventry, I definitely think that's going to be the easier one, because we all know, like, when we used to play the Tripletters in Scotland, we play against Edinburgh, 12th in the league, only win two games a year, and guarantee they'll win one of those games against us. So I'm expecting the same thing for Guildford. They're going to be, you know, absolutely shattered. And it's just not going to be an easy win. You know, you got, I'm going to talk about it because no one else brought it up except for Paul. laying on his back in the lineup, missed the face off, missed the scores a goal from 6 yards out whenever he wants, is back in the lineup, missed the tough guy, missed the, what does Steve King call him? Big game lane, back in the lineup. So, you know, that's going to make things better because you're going to have four lines of, you know, the face off guys who's taking them week in, week out. Don't have to mix the lines up. Play the hockey we know, and, you know, I can see that one being a couple of goal win. It's just the Coventry game I'm worried about. You know, Sean said about not having scorers, but they've currently got a top point scorer in the league in Ben Lake, who's a quality player. So, you know, hopefully we can come away with 4 points and Belfast drop at least two.
Sean, one of the biggest things at Guildford is, you know, special teams. They're the third best team on the power play, behind Belfast in first and ourselves. But they're also the best penalty. You know, they're known as a penalty power play team, but they're the best kill in the league. You're against us down in sixth at the moment, just over 80%. So, you know, really important that the Devils can keep their discipline and, you know, not give that, you know, Akarid mainly, but their first power play unit is outstanding.
Yeah, and they use their power play very well from the point. A lot of shots come in from the defenseman and the forward there on the point. They put a lot of traffic in front of net and look for rebounds. We actually haven't lost to Guildford in league action this year. Won 4 out of 4, 2 in Cardiff, one of those in overtime, and the 2 games in Guildford. So, you know, we've got a pretty good run against them in the league. We did lose to them in the Challenge Cup earlier in the year at the Spectrum. But it's, you know, like we just said, they've got a tough couple of games in Belfast, plus the travel to contend with. And I'd like to think that we will have a little bit in the tank left over from Coventry and they will be absolutely gassed come there. Obviously, they've got three games in 3 nights. They've got 2 goaltenders. I'd be really interested to see whether they choose to ice Chris Carosi in all 3 of them, or I think it's Travis Fullerton is the other netminder they have there. So interested to see whether he'll play against us or whether he'll slot into one of the Belfast games. Who knows? And we still have to be very, very good. There's no doubt about it. Although they'll be tired, they might change their style a little bit. They get a lead and they're going to trap all game and play a very, very defensive style just to conserve a game. And if they score, they're going to try and win 1-0. And we really, really have to stop them executing their game plan from the point. And if we go up a couple early, then I would fancy us all night long. I don't think that Guildford will have the energy to chase the game extensively. And I'd like to see that happen. And just go all out for 10 minutes and then trap. If we score 2, shut up shop and take it easy, ready for the next one.
That would be very nice. But I think most importantly of all, Sean, it's a game without a webcast. So, you know, does that mean you're stepping up to the plate?
Ooh. Well, I have been known to take the odd jaunt down to Guildford. And I am planning on making the trip. Hopefully I'll have you two reprobates to join me. And it will be live on Red Army Roundup play-by-play for anyone at home. Like you said, there's no webcast. And as Paul very, very nicely complimented me a couple of weeks ago, I do it very well. So tune in. Best place to get live updates.
Well, it's all right for me to compliment you. You can't say it about yourself. That just sounds really smug. God, don't tune in, guys. Tell him he's right. He did, and he is. So make sure you're following us. If you're listening, I'm sure you already are, but at Red Army Roundup. And tell your friends. That's where the place to be for all your Guildford updates. I think that is everything, though, for this week. Thank you to everyone who's you've got in touch with us on Twitter with your Ramites and your burning questions. As ever, get them into us. Get your questions in. Get your Ramite suggestions in after the weekend as well, and we'll be back next week with another episode. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. The Devon side, every single one of us, the Devon side.